such an amazing atmosphere of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, and faith here today, that praise and worship, and that kind of time of ministry in the Spirit. Lord, thank you that you have kind of risen up from the inside of us, out of our spirits, and we've seen and experienced your presence here. Thank you that wherever we praise you, thank you, Lord, that there is a victory in praise. And this morning there has been an incredible victory, I believe, over the enemy. Victory over our souls and the heaviness that can so easily hinder. Holy Spirit, you're our helper. We ask that you continue this morning to lead us in victory, in triumphant procession in Christ. We pray that you will make the word known to us. Speak and declare the word of God to us. Lord, we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit, to unveil truth. Maybe truth we've heard before, but we've never really grasped it. Today, Lord, let this word make the difference. Your word make the difference in our lives, we pray. And we pray this for your glory. Also for our benefit, but for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11, if you turn in your Bibles there, we're going to begin just reading these verses from Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11. For my thoughts, this is the Lord speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Some wonderful words there to give us a vision of what is possible with the word of God. The Bible says that the heavens, all creation was made by the word of God, that God spoke and it was. So in other words, everything God says, he makes it. He brings it to pass. And we are a people who are to live by faith in what God says. Jesus described the word of God as a seed, and seeds have the power and potential to become the full-blown harvest. So a wheat seed has the power and potential to produce a crop. And it's the same with the word of God that comes from God's mouth, that is written. The word of God is living. The written word is living and powerful like the seed. It has power. It's got life in it. But when it's sown into the human heart or spirit, when we receive the seed of God's word, God promises it won't stay a seed. It will become what it's been sent to do. It will actually manifest the promise. And this season we are talking about what God's plans are for us, his dreams and his vision for our lives. And his vision will not be outside of his word. God's word is what he will send into our hearts to give us a vision. Now we need the Holy Spirit to declare the word to us. We need the Holy Spirit to make it known and alive in us. And we also need kind of the language of the Spirit, which is dreams and visions and prophecy, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But everything the Holy Spirit does is to confirm the word. I think it's amazing that all the way through Jesus' ministry, everything that happened and everything that he did was to fulfill Scripture. And so the dreams of God and the vision that God has for you as an individual and that he has for us together, the Holy Spirit will be working to fulfill Scripture, which is why we need more of the word off the pages of our Bible, sown into our hearts, so that God can accomplish what he sent it to do. And there are incredibly great and precious promises. The Bible says exceedingly. And they're all ours. Exceedingly great and precious promises. They're all ours in Christ Jesus. And in Jeremiah, God says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. So in other words, God looks at your heart right now and he says, I'm kind of working. I'm watching. I'm going to perform what I've put in there. What you have worked with me on to put on the inside. I'm gonna bring that to pass. Which is why it's so important the word gets sown in your life. That you are receiving the seed of God's word daily, weekly, all throughout the days of your life. Because then God has something to work with. It's like a farmer who expects a harvest without seed, you would call them ridiculous. You know, saying, having a dream that this field will produce. Well, it won't unless you sow something in it. And it's the same with God's word. God's word needs to come into our hearts to stir our hearts and minds and our godly imaginations to say, gosh, this is possible. Gosh, God says I can do that. This is how God sees me. And we begin to be stirred up with God's vision and plans and dreams for our life. And it's always a faith vision, which is what a seed is. A farmer does not plant seed and expect nothing to happen. He has a faith vision for what is sown to become a lot more. To produce something. So a potato is going to produce more potatoes, a potato seed. A celery will produce a lot of celery. Yeah. So he doesn't plant something and say, well, that's it, it's in the ground. That's the end of that then. But he sows it in hope and expectation that there's going to be a harvest of what has been sown. Noah was given a word from God to build an ark. And you can tell that he believed it because he acted on it. You can always tell whether you believe that what God has said he's going to do in your life because you begin to act like it's going to happen. Mary, when she received the promise that she would become pregnant, conceived by the Holy Spirit, she received the word. She acted out her faith and went to visit Elizabeth because she knew that God that they'd become pregnant by a miracle. And so she acted. And so as a farmer will act differently once the seed is in the ground, that's it, we've got a field coming of a massive harvest. So it changes how you live and what you live to expect. Abraham was given a promise to have a family. In fact, the promise was so big, the seed of God's word, that's all it was, a promise. But contained in that promise were multitudes and multitudes, more than the sand on the seashore. From one word, God says, I'm going to have many descendants. And now, today, all believers are called children of Abraham. We know we're sons of God through faith in Jesus, but actually it was because of Abraham's faith that God has blessed the nations through his son Jesus Christ, And now there are multitudes, and there will be multitudes and multitudes and multitudes and multitudes more until Jesus comes again. And then in heaven, wow, I'm going to be there with them. And I'm going to meet Abraham and say, thank you for believing for me. Thank you, you accepted the promise, which meant I'm here today. Children of God through faith. Joshua had a promise, you will lead these people to inherit the land. And whenever God is going to do something, he gives a word. He sends forth his word. And that simply can come at any point in your life when you're reading the Bible and praying. I'll talk about that in a minute. But all the promises are yes and amen. But they come to pass once you've sown them and received them in your heart to believe that you have what God is promising. And so God says, my thoughts are much higher than yours. As high as the heavens are above the earth. So in other words, there are earth level thoughts or human level thoughts, and there are heavenly thoughts, or I could say the word of God thoughts, which are much higher, scripture, than man's thoughts, divine thoughts. And it's a big gap between earth and heaven. And so there is a big gap between your own thoughts naturally and God's thoughts, the word. Say there's a big gap. Unless your mind is completely renewed and you receive the word of promise, you do not live with the higher thought. You live with what I would call earthly thoughts or lower thoughts. And I know this comparison has been used before, but it's the difference between someone who is behaving more like a chicken than an eagle. A chicken has looking down to earth all the time, pecking. Okay, so if our natural thoughts, they're always going to be limited and looking down. But an eagle actually sees with a higher perspective, in other words, divine thoughts. And we need to come out of pecking to soaring. We need to come out of earth vision to heavenly vision, and we need to come out of every other kind of way of thinking and into word thinking. The word of God, because that's the heavenly thought that will transform and change your future and your destiny. See, Christians are not to be like people who don't know God. Before I knew God, I'd be like the chicken. But I've got a new nature. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and I have been given his word, his promises. And if I align everything in my life to his word, then I'm going to be in the higher thought and live with a heavenly vision and have heavenly dreams. And God says, I'll send forth my word into your life. They'll be completely different to the way the world sees. But it's how I see. And I'm going to bring you up into my mind. And what you see, you'll start seeing happen on earth. As it is in heaven, it will become a reality on earth. It's not supposed to stay vision. It's actually to be outworked in our lives. People who don't know God don't have guidelines. They don't have boundaries. They live and do whatever pleases them. Adultery, lying, pornography, it doesn't matter. They do whatever pleases them. But people of God are to have thoughts that are so much higher. Holy thoughts, godly thoughts, godly dreams. Do you know one of the dreams that God has, which I would call eagle vision? are the what we call the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's ego thinking. Chicken thinking is take offense, get mad, don't be generous, be mean. Don't forgive them. Look what they did to you. Ego perspective is, I'll be blessed, God says, because I will receive mercy. And sometimes the hardest people to forgive are the closest to us. But God says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so the Beatitudes lift us into God's vision. The word of Jesus lifts us into a vision for how life's supposed to be for us as Christians. To love one another as he loved us. What a vision. Wow. Not sort of holding things against you, not treating one another as they deserve, but with favor, with a clean slate. To have a positive view. To have a view that God is in that person and therefore, wow, what they carry is treasure. Yeah. It's a completely different viewpoint, chicken or eagle. And you know, if we're honest, we've got mixture going on. But it's time to stop pecking. And it's definitely time to start soaring. And coming up into a higher perspective, because your destiny, the things that God made you for, will never happen. You'll always live frustrated if you're not in line with what God says about you and your life. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit will make everything known to you. Yeah. Now, you know, I hear some people say, oh, I've got a vision for such and such. And I look at them and think, to be honest, I think that's very selfish vision. Or just motivated for their own ends. They just like doing certain things or want certain things. And so they say, God said at the beginning. They attach God said. And it's what I call a silly vision. And I don't know if you remember Only Fools and Horses. And Del Boy used to say to Trotter, sorry, Del Boy used to say to Rodney, this time next year, Rodney, we'll be millionaires. Do you remember it? Trotter International. This time next year, they've got their three-wheeler. Oh, selling an old TV that doesn't work. But, you know, Del Boy would always have this vision. I'm going to be rich, 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 I'm going to be rich. And Rodney would hear Del Boy say all the time, we're going to be rich. And Rodney began to get cynical because it was a dream not founded, actually, in God. And you know, we can have our own dreams a bit like Del Boy. Which is why, don't get a Del Boy, get a word. Right. Don't go Del Boy's way, go the word of God's way. Because you will forever be frustrated if it's a vision with yourself in the center. But with Christ in the center, the word in the center, and actually the cross in the center, because there'll be others part of God's vision for your life, there are many other people that he wants to reach through your life, not just you. Del Boy just wanted to be a millionaire for him and his family. Well, that is a very, very small vision. And it's actually what I would call a silly and ungodly vision. Because just to be rich for me is not the goal. Okay? It doesn't mean some Christians aren't called to generate wealth for the kingdom. But the kingdom of heaven is always how we perceive vision for our lives. Jesus put it like this, Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not Del Boy, seek first millions and add a promise to that. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see, dreams and visions are to have Jesus as the focus, his kingdom as the goal, not my kingdom. His will as the goal, not mine. And if we live out our lives as visionaries, people who dream with God, people who have a vision that's eagle perspective, then our vision is going to be Jesus, your King. In other words, you are Lord of my life. Because unless he's Lord of your life, in reality, of your dreams, your visions, your plans, your ideas, your decisions, if he's not Lord, then you will try to take the promise and make it fit into what you want. Rather than say, Lord, you're Lord of my dreams and visions. Come and be Lord in the way that you want to work out your vision and dream for my life. And in submission to Jesus as Lord, God can trust you with a God-sized dream. Not with a little-sized dream, a God-sized dream. But he can't trust people who are Del Boy out to gain something for themselves. Doesn't mean he doesn't want to bless us, but all things are added when we put Jesus and his kingdom first. Recently we heard from Jeremiah, we had that promise spoken, that he has plans to prosper us, not to harm us. I love it. As I look over your life, I think, God, you've got such great plans for your people. I look over all of you with nothing but joy, because I believe it. And so you would be full of joy too if you did. And you looked around at your family. God's got great plans. My kids, God's got great plans. Your marriage, God's got plans. You know, whatever it is, your business, your working life, God's got plans to prosper you, not harm you. Not a Del Boy vision, but a kingdom vision. A vision that's worth living for, because it'll last beyond this life. It'll go on into eternity. And you'll build something that will be lasting, not temporary. When was the last time, and I'm speaking to you individually, when was the last time a word or promise made a great impact on your life? When did you go, wow, oh my goodness, I've got to write it down, I've got to tell everybody. Yeah. When was the last time you were so excited about a promise, you just felt you were going to burst? Now, in your way, okay, not mine, I'm up here doing this, this is so exciting, but maybe with you, you'd go, you see, I tell you what's coming. Like the farmer says, I can tell you what's coming. I know what's ahead. It's so exciting. You want to see what I see. When was the last time that happened? Or are you just going to church, reading the Bible, doing arrow time and just going through the motions and you're not excited anymore? Tell somebody next to you, you need God's word to make an impact on your life. I do need it myself. Impact means to have a strong effect on you. Because if the word of promise comes, if God's promises come in to your heart in the way he intends, it will have such a strong effect on you that you'll be excited, you'll be expectant, You'll have different kind of language and talk about the future. You'll also be communicating that to other people. It won't be quiet. It'll be a confession of your faith, because you can't keep faith quiet. If you have a promise, you must never keep it quiet, because it's all part of releasing the power of that seed to get to work is speaking about it. Not silently internalizing. And it will change the way you live, the way you work. You'll just be like, I've got different goals. I've got God's goals. And other people who don't have God's goals will go that way. But you, I've got God's goals. Oh, I love you, but I've got to go where God has me going. I've got to be with the people God says to be with. I've got to do what God says. I have such an expectation of an army, it's unbearable. I just it's like, because I get frustrated that it hasn't happened yet, and I need to deal with that. But I still have this, it won't die in me. I can't not believe it. So even on the worst days, I go, still an army coming, Lord. You said it, it's coming. I can see it. I can see more than this room full. I can see other congregations. I can see the middle floor full. I can see the ground full, full of healing, signs, wonders, a powerful army of missionaries raised up to go out into the world. I can see an army. I can't get rid of what's put in. Nothing, even if none of you came this morning. I'd actually feel let down because of the work that we labor in to serve you and the Lord. I'd feel a bit, couldn't be bothered, you know, that feel a bit hurt, to be honest, if none of you showed. I'm so proud of you that you did. I'm so proud of the guys that show up, do what they do. Door team, I'm so proud that everybody shows up because we're raising an army. We're seeing God build something so great here. That's my ego. I ain't pecking. You can't bring me down to chicken. The devil has tried to take it off me, but he can't. I've sent him packing so many times, saying, it's ridiculous, it's going to happen. God said it, and it will accomplish what it has been sent to do. That's it. So when was the last time really you got excited about a promise of God over your life, over your kids, over your family, over your grandkids, over this community, over the church, over the worship team, over the youth, over the children, over Startright, over Fly? When was the last time you were like, it doesn't matter what I'm seeing? Right. Not, oh, hello. It's just you, me, and the dog. You know, this is it. No. It's never it. No. If you've got a word. Praise the Lord. Now, scripture says many are the thoughts, his thoughts and plans to prosper us and to give us a hope in the future. Many are the thoughts towards us, Psalm 40. Vast as some of them. And the idea of many are the thoughts means that God's got lots of scriptures that are thoughts, his eagle vision, the way he sees. And the idea is that it's almost like he's throwing those thoughts to us. Okay, I know somebody's got a ball. Can I have a tennis ball here? So if you imagine this is a thought or a promise from God. Who's a good catcher? Mateo, I'm going to have to try you. So God is throwing his thoughts to thank you. I threw it bad to you. Many, if you think of his promises, are his thoughts, and he's throwing. Now, if you think about a parent with a child, Tommy, don't catch this. Just be like a child, stand up. And this is like your dad teaching you to catch. That's right, that's what happened. Exactly, I remember that. And my dad would say, no, what you need to do is put your hands together like this to catch, Dan. Yes, like that. And so many are the thoughts. See, she was sleeping before. Many are the thoughts, Mark, coming your way. Yes! Ooh. Ooh. Many promises. Words. The word of God. Many. And, you know, he's such a good father that he teaches you to receive them. When you drop it, he doesn't go, that's it. No more thoughts. He keeps throwing the same one. You notice that? Keeps going. Keeps chucking the same one until you go, right, got it. And you could say it's a faith catch. You actually catch it and you say, I believe it. I got it. And that is exciting to catch a promise from God. Because if you do, it will surely come to pass. Now, you remember the 12 spies that Moses sent out to spy out the land. And they all had the same promise. 12 of them each had the same word. It's wonderful, you know, that with God, when the word of God is preached, we can all catch it. The other alternative is you can sit here like this and say, I don't want to play. Got attitude, didn't work last time, so I'm not going to try again. Or you can be like this, your mind on lunch, looking somewhere else, not looking to Jesus, the Father who's throwing the word. If only we would all come to the word of God, whether it's preaching or on our own, and go, I'm ready. Throw me something. I want to catch it. Amen. And the 12 spies all got the same promise. And the promise was, the land of Canaan is yours. God says, I've given it. Just like he said, I have given all the promises to you in Christ. They're all yours. It's yours. And Moses sent them off and he said, be very courageous, but go and investigate the land. And they came back and they started really well. We heard this last Sunday. They started really well with the, yeah, no, it's good. It's a good land. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the grapes are big. It's a blessed place. But there are giants. The people are too big, too strong, overwhelming. And I always think it's interesting to understand this as a Christian. If you do, you'll understand there is opposition wherever your promise is. Okay? The devil doesn't want you to take it. So he puts giants in with the promise to make you look at the giants and say, oh, I'm a bit intimidated by that. I have a promise, but actually, I'm also aware that the giants are massive. Now, 10 of these spies came back. 2 of them held on to the promise. The 10 actually said, but we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers. We're that small in comparison to the giants. All the negativity surrounding the promise, it's too big, it's too much. And if all my 12 could stand up, here they are. These are the 12 sent out. Okay? And they have all got the promise. Now, this is what I really want you to see. Every single one of them has received the promise. But 10 of them, when they saw the problems and the giants, what happened? They dropped the promise. Okay, guys, these two, Joshua and Caleb, held on. Which two experienced the promised land? The one who kept hold of the promise. You know, a lot of these spies could have said, God never did it for me. Well, you just need to pick that up, darling. Put it back in your hand and start acting like God is God and you can do it. Don't leave your promise on the floor because of the giants. Because the issue is not letting go of what God has promised to do. That is the issue. Catching it first, but then keeping it. Even though everything, sorry guys, you can sit down. Even though everything is against that promise coming to pass. Joshua and Caleb, they saw the promise and they saw that God was with them. What an amazing thing to be so put off a promise by a giant. But you and I both know we all have fear. Fear, anxiety. Actually, I absolutely hate fear because it robs us of what God can do. It makes us drop our trust in God and our faith in Him, and we get empty-handed, and we can no longer enjoy the very place that God has planned for us to live in. We're not going to get in it because we haven't kept hold of the word. And I would say fear and anxiety are sent from the enemy to drive out the faith you have so that you let go of what God has said and begin to take on board your fears. So that actually your fears conquer you rather than your faith bringing you to victory. And that isn't how God's planned it. He's planned you to live victorious and free from fear. I think fear is similar to this picture, King Kong. Anybody know the... There he is. There's King Kong. Your fear for other people... You know, fear is irrational. They're different to different people. But for you, it's real. It's like a King Kong in your life. Whether it's within relationships, business, work, and school, whether you've got somebody at work who is constantly putting you down, is bullying you. Money fears. Family, children. I'm afraid my children will. I'm anxious about money. I'm anxious about my health. I've had a bad report from the doctor. This thing about witnessing that Jesus says we've all got to do, I don't want to do it because I'm so scared they'll not like what I say and they'll... You see, we've got to face every intimidating fear that shuts down the power of Jesus Christ in us. And no matter whether it's... you're afraid of life. I don't know. God says that we can win this and we can go in and possess the promises and defeat all fear and all giants that are in the land. But you can't do it with dropping that ball. You can't do it by letting go of the promises. Caleb didn't let go. Joshua didn't let go. Said that we're well able to overcome it. And I see fear like a bully. You know, when a child is bullied at school, it's quite a distressing thing for a family, for a child, for a parent, and for the child, of course. But it's the same with a Christian who's got fear bullying them. And, you know, day and night, tormenting, intimidating, threatening. Whatever the enemy uses as a weapon against you, he is a big bully. He comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And there's nothing good about fear. If you are saying, well, I just have always been an anxious person, stop saying that and start saying that by my God, I can win this. And I am not. It's like, in a way, if you think about your mind, that's where the enemy starts fear, with a thought. Okay? You know, it just starts coming. Just tell the devil it's not for rent. So you just say, I'm not letting out this part of my life because my life belongs to Jesus. And that anxious thought, I'm going to replace it with a God thought.
That's it.
I'm not going to be a chicken. I'm going to be an eagle.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
I'm no chicken.
Yes, that's right.
I'm an eagle.
Yes.
I'm a son of God.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
And you're thinking. Immediately, it starts with a thought. And then the process can get stronger and stronger until you're so bullied by the enemy, you feel knocked down and taken out. But Caleb, he held on to the promise. Joshua held on. And really, they teach us how to overcome. I'm going to finish with this. And then we're going to pray. But I trust we're going to believe the word. I've got a couple of scriptures for us to take hold of and catch. And never let go of all the days of your life. Never let go of what God said about your family. Never let go what he's promised for your future. Never, ever, 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 ever let go the promise that God has spoken. Because it will come to pass. Actually, just to finish this analogy of a bully, imagine the child at school being bullied and the father walks in the room. Suddenly, the child goes, why? Because dad's just walked in. And he's just seen, he's had a different vision from the bully to the dad. Stop looking at the fear. Turn your eyes on your father. And the difference in the child happens as soon as they shift their gaze to see who is there with them. Jesus promised he would never leave us. Do we believe that? He will never leave us or forsake us. He's promised it. It's the truth. But if you drop that, you won't experience his victory. You understand? It's a believer. Someone who lays hold of that promise and says, God's with me. He's promised to never leave me or forsake me. He's not going to forsake me in this trouble, in my relationships, in my business. God's not going to forsake me. He's with me. And it completely changes what God does because he's watching over his word to perform it. Amen. So how do we overcome? We shift our gaze. This is a word I've been personally meditating on for a few weeks. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? And then he goes further than the mountains. He's not talking about help coming from the earth. No matter how big resources are on earth, no matter how great things might look on earth, my help comes from somewhere higher.
Amen.
Someone who actually made everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Now that does me the whole world of good. I've kind of, could you give me that tennis ball, please? I've got this. I'm living with this. I'm excited about it. You can tell. My help comes. I've just decided it's coming all the time. I'm looking to the Lord and help's coming. Not help's there. It's on its way. It's coming. Because my eyes are not on the bully. They're not on the problem. They're not on what isn't happening. They're on the Lord and he's sending help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Do you often stop to think, look at what God made? Last night was such a clear sky. And you look up. I can look up. I've got a, what do you call it? Velux window. And I can look through the velux. And I see the stars. And I'm like, God, you made that. And if you made all of this, I should think you could help.
Yeah.
I think it is possible. You could do something right now. And I know he loves me. So in other words, he's for me. He actually wants to help. And so I kind of completely relax going, wow, you're bigger than I ever thought because you made that. You made every person. You made everything. All things were created through the word. Jesus Christ made everything. And so I've kind of caught that. And you know what? Help's coming all the time.
Yeah.
Don't catch it. You won't enter into the blessing of it. Catch. He's got it. Will you catch it? Will you take it like, that's for me, that. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'm shifting my gaze. The second thing we overcome. Ah, catch the promise. By you, I can run against a troop. By you, Lord, with your strength, your ability. There is a scripture that is so important in our day. And that is, I can do all things through Christ. Where is he? In us. Christ is in us. I can do all things. I can. But not I can on my own. I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. I can run against a troop. If there is an army of King Kongs coming against me, I tell you the greater one is in me. And I can come against you through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And you know, the enemy, if something bad has happened, he sends another troop in because he's so nasty. He just wants to take you down and out. But we need to rise up in the truth. Take this word on and say, by my God, I can run against a troop and I can leap over a wall. Have you caught it? Are you excited about the vision God has for your life? You're not going to live with fear. You're going to evict it.
Amen.
It's not up for rent here. You're not lodging in my life. If you've been a fearful person, this is the medicine that will change your future. You don't need drugs. You need Jesus. I'm not against drugs. But actually, Jesus is the recipe for success.
Amen.
His word and promises work. And if you believe, you will start seeing changes. If you lift and shift your gaze, catch a promise. And then finally, Hebrews 10:23. This is an important part of it. Let us hold fast our confession, the confession of our hope. The 10 spies gave a bad report. They confessed, oh, it's going to be bad. I feel bad. I just can't get over what happened. I'm thinking it's going to turn out bad. it's all bad. You're bad. They started grumbling and complaining about absolutely everything. And faith people, people who've received the promise, hold fast the confession. You know what the confession is? Your mouth. They keep saying, it's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. We're well able to overcome it. By my God, I can do this. Run against a troop and leap over a wall. By my God, I can. If God is for me, who can be against me? I have authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if God is for me, come on, who can stand against me? No bullying here. I'm here to bully the bully. I'm here to drive him out in Jesus' name. It's a proactive thing. And you have to hold fast the good confession. Your mouth, the devil needs to hear you say what you believe. You need to say what you believe for your own health, because it will bless you no end to confess your hope, not your devastation. And God begins to work through our faith confession. God starts to work on what we're speaking. Don't stay silent. It's exactly where the devil wants the church. Shh. Yeah. Internally, I say nothing. No, speak it out. Speak it out. And God will perform every good thing that he has promised he will do. I have learned truth about myself. I'm inadequate. Totally insufficient. I can't do it, but I know someone who can, and he lives in me, which is why it's not I, but Christ. Yes. It's not my word, but his. Yes. I'm not doing a Dell boy. No. I'm doing a God thought, a God dream, a sure and certain thing that will never change, which is the word of God will never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will never pass away. And I don't want to be like the 10 that let go. Just don't let go. Do not let go of the promise. Don't let go of the good confession. No matter what you're facing, and I know some of you are facing immense challenge, but the King Kong size is nothing in comparison to the God who made the heavens and earth. And your help is coming as you look to him. Take your eyes off the bully, the problems, the past, your feelings, your inadequacies, and say, God said it. He's faithful. He'll do it. I believe it. Yes. Do you? Yes. Do you believe? Is the question. Yes. For your future destiny, you know, it's all linked to catching, keeping, and confessing God's promise. It's connected to all of that. And then there's an outworking of obedience to what God asks you to do. But actually, without the promise, you won't see the future that God has planned. And so be a promise catcher. Think of the father with that child. Chucking. Always wanting you to get it. Always wanting you. And if you miss it, no worries. Let's have another go. I think he's Aussie sometimes. No worries, mate. Let's have another go. Let's keep going until that's it. They've got it. Don't be the 10 spies, bad report people, negative people, complainers, always saying somebody else is the problem. Be a faith person. Yeah. Stop criticizing the situation you're in, the people you're with. Yeah. Start living to bless. Yeah. and begin to turn everything around with your faith in God and what he said. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May God raise up in truth. Not just because we want to be like Joshua and Caleb, but really like them. Never let go of this. Yeah. Caleb was 85. 85 years old. Yeah. Come on. Age-defying promises are.
They are. Yeah. They are.
Yeah. It's not age-dependent. It's faith-dependent.
That's right.
Old Caleb steps up and he says, here, you remember the word that Moses gave? All of that lot have died in the wilderness. It was never my goal. I decided to catch the word and keep it and look to God. And guess what? I've still got the promise.
Yeah.
40 years! Everybody else is dead. I've still got the word. I'm still believing. I mean, come on! What a guy! And he steps up. The biggest giants are over there in Hebron. The best place is up there in Hebron. I'll take it. I'm just as strong as I was when I left Egypt. I've got vision like these guys do not even know about. My strength hasn't failed me. When you've got a vision from God, you will find you're running on the supernatural. So when you're 85, you're going like this. Come on, boys.
Yes.
Let's take them.
Yeah.
Not, well, you know, I'm retired now. Going down. Chicken pecking. Wah, wah. Eagle. Yeah. Here I am. Let's go. Let's take it. Doesn't matter. But let's be a church like Caleb and Joshua. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. But just say to somebody next to you, I'm not a chicken. I'm an eagle.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaith.com. SW.com